Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised. For Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Norwegian Christian kills 80 at youth camp. There's a headline for you. The Marxist socialist media, that's the MSM, are trumpeting the fact that the guy self-identified as Christian. Of course, when a Muslim kidnaps and strangles an 8-year-old boy in Helmand. Well, the fact that he is Muslim is irrelevant. When Nidal Malik Hassan, remember him? Murdered 13 in the Fort Hood massacre. You could have read 20 articles in the story before you discovered the guy was Muslim. Go ahead, Google Fort Hood massacre and try to find an MSM story that includes the fact that this monster was Muslim. And hey, did you hear about the soldier who was recently planning another Fort Hood massacre but was caught before he pulled it off? the guy had bomb-making materials. He bought a uniform at an army surplus store or military surplus store with Fort Hood patches on it. And, oh, by the way, his name was Nasser Jason Abdo. And with his bomb-making material, they found jihadist material. But the one thing you will not find anywhere in the story, that he was Muslim. Now, here's the point. When the MSM trumpet the lie that Breivik is a fundamentalist Christian, it is yet another example of irrational Psalm 2 rage. I'll explain that later. It's crazy. I mean, you can't even dismiss it as conspiracy. Folks, this has gone beyond conspiracy. Consider, when a Muslim man murders in the name of the Muslim religion, the MSM does not see the fact that he is Muslim as part of the story. But when a fellow who calls himself a Christian commits a heinous act of mayhem, you know, one that's not covered by Allstate, and declares that he is not acting in concert with any denomination of Christianity, but on his own distorted beliefs, the MSM thinks this story should be led with a declaration that Breivik is a Christian fundamentalist. So in one case, you have a nut job, Allah, shouting, you know, Allah Akbar, killing in the name of being a Muslim, organizationally connected to a sect of the Muslim religion, and following the teachings of prominent leaders in the large sect of the Muslim faith. But his Muslim faith is not part of that story. On the other hand, you have a guy who dresses up in a police uniform, goes to an island in Utøya, Norway, about 20 miles northwest of Oslo, where a youth camp is in process. He calls the kids over to him in his police uniform. They trust him. They come over to him. And then he begins shooting them off one by one while standing on a rock. And before it's over, he's taken 84 lives. A Muslim who kills as a religious act, acting on religious beliefs, by the way, that are codified in the teachings of his Muslim imams, his religious teachers, and yet his religious beliefs are carefully kept out of the news stories about the strangling of an 8-year-old boy or the latest suicide bombing on a bus in Tel Aviv, you know, or when one of these nut jobs drives his car into a crowd screaming Allah Akbar, you get it. But when a character kills 84 innocent people on an island in the name of his own private version of so-called Christianity, inventing his own doctrines, not following the codified teachings of any prominent Christian sect or teacher, or any organized Christian sect that we know anything about, who himself wrote in his own diary that he is Christian, but in that same writing defines what he means by it. And when you read what he means by it, it is clear he was not a Christian in any classic sense or definition of the word. In fact, he said he did not want a, quote, Christian fundamentalist theocracy, end quote. Oh, yeah, and, you know, as opposed to these Muslims who go about doing their terrorist acts, who declare that's exactly what they're trying to promote with it, a Muslim theocratic rule of the world. Did you hear this? Did you hear this? Now, I'll have to address Savage's take on this story because he's way off on it. and most of my listeners also listen to Savage, and I love him, but he's off on this. Anyway, and maybe I'll get to that after the break. First, I've got some important work to do here. Look, this guy wrote in his book that he did not believe in or want a Christian fundamentalist theocracy. Guess what he did want? He wanted a, quote, secular European society based on our Christian cultural heritage, end quote. He explained what he meant by his use of the word Christian, saying, quote, it is not required that you have a personal relationship with God or Jesus, end quote. Let me see. Yeah, here you go. Look at this. He says, quote, it is enough that you are a Christian agnostic or a Christian atheist, end quote. So the point is, he's not talking about Christianity as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the way virtually all Christians understand the term. He's talking about what we would call nominal Christianity, or Christianity in name only, you know, like the rhinos, Republicans in name only, who in Congress today are trying to bully the Tea Party Republicans into compromise on the debt limit increase. More on that later. Savage is using the word in this way, in the nominal sense. However, he makes a serious mistake in that he fails to differentiate between someone who is acting on the codified beliefs of a religious organization as opposed to someone who is acting on his own personal beliefs created in his own imagination. And, you know, not following the teaching of a recognized leader of any religious order or sect, but following his own ideas. This is an important distinction, and it's one that stands between these who act in the name of Allah for the Muslim faith as opposed to this character. And it's his failure to make that distinction that causes his problem. All right, so I addressed it. Anyway, here is a character who shouts out loud that he is not a Christian fundamentalist. He does not want anything like a Christian fundamentalist theocracy. He is so confused about Christianity, he thinks you can be a, quote, Christian agnostic, end quote, or a, quote, Christian atheist, end quote. What? He committed his brutal act of gunning down 84 kids at a youth camp as someone who is a self-described Darwinian pragmatist who wants a secular Europe. But because he presumptuously self-identifies as Christian on his Facebook page and a few statements in his diary, the MSM leap on this, and they don't take the whole thing in context, and they make Christianity the story here. So let's see here. When a Muslim acts in a manner contrary to what the MSM perceives to be mainstream Muslim faith or Muslim beliefs, well, that becomes a reason to carefully screen or keep the Muslim religion out of their crosshairs and not mention it in their reporting, even though these persons are acting in concert with an established sect of the Muslim religion, following the codified doctrines of that sect taught widely throughout that system all over the world by recognized teachers of that faith. But when a Norwegian Viking wannabe makes up his own private version of Christianity and launches a personal crusade unconnected with any recognized sect of Christianity, they make Christianity the story. Isn't that interesting? This is unfair. It is dishonest. It is bad reporting. It is inflammatory. And it feels like a conspiracy to, well, at best, to marginalize Christians, or at worst, to encourage antipathy toward them. But folks, I say this goes beyond conspiracy. I mean, this kind of thing reminds me of conversations I had with Christians in Russia in 91, a short time after the wall came tumbling down. They talked about how the news media there, under communist Russia, constantly mischaracterized Christians. How anytime someone did something evil, if they happened to self-identify as Christians, well, their Christianity became an integral part of the story, as if somehow being Christian explained the evil. But when a Marxist did something or a communist did something, you know, some heinous thing, well, the fact that he was a communist was ignored. It wasn't mentioned, wasn't made part of the story. And here's the thing that surprised me. Those who were in that system, who were in the communist system, who bought this hook, line, and sinker and participated in this, were not aware of any conscious conspiracy. Listen up. In other words, they would explain it was not the case that someone higher up said, hey, when an act of evil occurs, find out if the perpetrator was connected in any way with Christianity, and if so, make that the story. And if they're connected with the Communist Party, well, you should ignore it and not make that part of the story. You see, in order for it to be a conspiracy, there has to be a secret plan by two or more persons. But in the case of the communist news agencies in Russia, the problem was not that they secretly planned to defame Christians. The problem was beyond conspiracy. It became systemic in that culture. And by systemic, I mean, you know, when something is systemic, it is characteristic of the entire system, characteristic of the system as a whole, not something that is limited as characteristic of some part of it. Follow what I'm saying? Anti-Christian sentiment was systemic in the communist system. The entire system was permeated with this bias against Christians and Christianity. When something bad happened and Christianity was in one way or another connected with the perpetrator, well, the system automatically, naturally, instinctively gravitated toward that as being relevant to the story. Rush explains this phenomenon as being, you know, their template. And that certainly has some application, but it's more than that. Listen up. In communist Russia, Antichrist bigotry began as a conspiracy. Oh, yeah. A group who was dedicated to Karl Marx and his teachings of hatred for Christianity secretly plotted to undermine the influence of Christianity upon culture, really upon everywhere in the world. And they pursued this with purposely false propaganda against Christians and policies that were supported by that propaganda, policies that persecuted Christians and so forth. But finally, over time, this hatred for Christianity became systemic. It became natural. It became the assumed norm. It was no longer viewed as hatred for Christians, per se, or for Christianity even. It was simply part of the natural way they thought and acted. Are you following this? This is important, so bear with me a little bit. What I'm saying is that here in America, Antichrist raging has become systemic in the mainstream media or the Marxist socialist media. Many, if not most of those in the MSM do not consciously set out to malign fundamentalist Christians or Christianity. In their mind, it just simply is maligned. When Christianity is identifiable with a perpetrator in a story like this, it is part of the story because as far as they are concerned, it is the story. The story is that Christian fundamentalism is evil for the Marxist socialist media, aka MSM. That is the story. The story is that Breivik is a Christian fundamentalist. But when a Muslim pulls something like this, well, the fact that he is Muslim is not the story. So when we accuse the MSM of a conspiracy to malign Christians or fundamentalist Christianity, well, they just respond like you're crazy. They don't see it. Why? Because it's not as if they sat down and agreed to a plot to pull this off. No, the Antichrist bigotry of the MSM is systemic. In that system, Antichrist bigotry is characteristic of the whole system. It can no longer be viewed as a separate part of it. It is so much a part of the system of the MSM that you can say it is what they are. They malign Christians and Christianity as naturally as you breathe. Now, you don't conspire to breathe. You just breathe. Most of the time, you're not even aware that you're breathing. The Marxist socialist media naturally maligns and denigrates and despises and even fears fundamentalist Christianity, and it's so bizarre and seemingly absurd way that they make Christianity part of these stories is not something they do on purpose any more than you breathe on purpose. Yeah, I know sometimes you do breathe on purpose, and sometimes they use opportunities like this to advance their agenda on purpose. But most of the time, it's just taking another breath for them, my friend. So you see, it's gone beyond conspiracy. It's systemic. Okay, let's wrap up the first segment. Antichrist bigotry is systemic in the Marxist socialist media today. It began as a conspiracy. Marx wrote a book on economics based on the proposition that all men must be forced to be equal in status. He made the case that Christianity was the enemy of this, and therefore it needed to be eradicated from the earth. A group of men and women imbibed this philosophy and conspired to take over the world and remake it in the image of Karl Marx's utopia. So first, Marxism takes control of a part of a system, and if it's not defeated, it finally becomes systemic to the system. It permeates it, and in fact, it becomes the system itself. At this point, you see, it goes beyond conspiracy. The players are no longer plotting to take over a system. They have it. They are the system. And so they act accordingly. The only way to combat this is to form a counter-conspiracy. Those of us who believe in good old-fashioned Adam Smith economics, and that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, must aggressively conspire ways and means to take control of this or that system until our philosophy or worldview permeates it. And the first step for many of you listening to me right now is to get you and your family over to the Lighthouse Baptist Church and join us in our counter-conspiracy efforts to reclaim America for Christ. Oh, yeah. For example, on Sunday nights, I'm preaching a series called The Issachar Report, where I address issues from a biblical point of view, and it begins at 6 p.m. every Sunday night. You've been thinking about visiting. Now's the time to do it. I'll be right back.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling "The Enemy Is on the March," an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, they decided to delay the vote on Boehner's budget. Boehner can delay the vote on his budget if he sees that the House might not pass it, but he'll go ahead and have it voted on and passed, even though he knows the Senate isn't going to pass it. Interesting things going on here. All their efforts to bully the Tea Party candidates into submission to the Rhino capitulators has failed, at least so far. Someone said, where is that? My friend Pat Nickel of Pat's Automotive. Excellent observation. He writes, quote, "You know, the thought occurred to me that the Tea Party guys don't have to do anything to get their way. If they don't pass anything, the ceiling does not get raised, and the government will have to start laying off government workers by the thousands. They'll have to close entire departments. They may even have to lay off some czars. Presto, smaller government without lifting a finger," end quote. Very good, very good. Yeah, they'll have to start furloughing government employees, just like it happens in the real world, you know, out here where the rest of us live. You know, nobody likes losing their job. Private sector people don't like losing their job either. Government employees should not be given immunity from bad economic times. Government jobs ought not to be given some special status. The fact is, cuts should begin with all non-essential government programs, you know, like the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm going to be a little less technical than usual right now, and I'm just going to roll with it. This is really bothering me. Just common sense. It is nonsense that taxpayers who are struggling to find employment should be expected to share sacrifice to keep that vile government program going. Planned Parenthood, there's another one ought to go. Every time we try, that group finds some way to keep itself latched to the public nipple. Shake it off! Debbie Kaufman gave me an article from our local liberal commune newsletter, Santa Maria Times opinion page, where is that? Here it is. Why raise taxes when revenue is squandered, end quote. Yeah, well, it's about Brown, our governor here, complaining and whining about Californians being reluctant to give these clowns more taxes to waste. But this problem is nationwide, and the question applies to the current budget debate. There are many reasons not to raise the debt limit, and I've addressed some of them in my prior shows, but this is certainly not the least of them. Until our leaders in Washington demonstrate they are serious about managing the revenues they have with prudence, they should not get another dime. I mean, really, it's often said that California is a microcosm of the nation. Everyone knows California is on the brink of bankruptcy, and it's one of the most aggressive tax and spend states in the union by these oppressors who lay their exactions, that's the Bible word for oppressive taxes, who lay their exactions on us heavily. Brown gets mad at the California State University system because they approved a $400,000 a year salary for their new president, or the new president of San Diego State University. Now, Governor Brown publicly chides the trustees, even preaches to them. He says, quote, "At a time when the state is closing its courts, laying off public school teachers, and shutting senior centers, it is not right to be raising the salaries of leaders who, of necessity, must demand sacrifice from everyone else," end quote. It sounds real good, but when his own appointee to be chairman of the $3 billion stem cell research bond issue approved a $400,000 salary to his man, well, he hasn't got anything to say about that. A bunch of hypocrites. There is so much redundancy, so much waste in government spending, it is obscene. Michelle Obama doesn't need 20 personal secretaries. All the other first ladies got by with one or two. This is obscene. Obama does not have to throw these lavish taxpayer-funded parties like he does. So what, 300% more spent by him on these sorts of things than former presidents? It's obscene. Every time these punks talk about budget cuts, you know what they do? They go straight for the cuts they know will punish the taxpayer the most. I mean, it's like they have a gun to our head, and I resent it. And they say, cough up some more money or else we'll pull the plug on Granny's Social Security. I'm getting done with this. This is a lie. I hate this constant lying, deceiving. I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. How about you? I'm tired of being lied to by these people. Anyway, every time these snakes are forced into a situation where they have to cut the budget, you know what they do? They go straight for the essentials, don't they? They're holding a gun to your head. This is armed robbery. The morons start at the essentials. You never start cutting in a budget at the essentials. You start at non-essentials. Why do they do it? It's obvious. They're petulant, greedy little golem, self-serving, belly-worshipping liars. So they put a virtual gun to your head and threaten you with cuts in police force, fire safety, military defense, or of all the audacious things, they threaten not to send your Social Security check, which should have absolutely nothing to do with any general budget item, but is supposed to be funded outside of general tax revenues. They're stinking liars. They rob the Social Security fund, and then they use it like a gun to your head to scare you if you dare demand they cut the budget and live within their means. We the people should rise up and say, you're not going to mess with Social Security, but you are going to cut the budget. They threaten to cut the politically sensitive things, the things they can demagogue and use to advance their political careers. I'm sick of it. And you know what? We're right back at it again. Our leaders are dancing all around this debt increase issue, trying to find a way to protect themselves politically. It's all about maneuvering for the coming election. It's all about finding a way to maneuver through this and come out on top politically. How about just doing the right thing for once? It's a bunch of nonsense. Look, cut the budget of all non-essential spending. That's the first thing you do. Duh. Anyone who says, well, that won't accomplish much. Stop it. The obvious thing you do is cut all non-essential spending today, now, immediately. Identify all programs not related directly to the constitutional mandate to provide for the common defense and promote the general welfare. And by general welfare, I don't mean personal welfare or individual welfare. General welfare. And that is something that benefits the entire nation as a whole and not individuals in it. Here's what you will find out. You will find out how many billions of dollars are virtually flushed down the proverbial toilet on foolish, non-essential junk, wasting the taxpayers' hard-earned money. Waste is wrong anywhere. Wasting what belongs to another is theft. Don't talk to me about how cutting waste is a waste of time. You have been duped. The exercise of identifying wasteful spending and cutting it from the budget, it would go a long way toward waking the country up, I'll tell you, and writing the dangerous list of this ship of state. Well, then you start cutting back wasteful spending on the needed programs. There are billions of dollars wasted in vital programs. We need the program. It's vital to national security, essential to the general welfare. But there is redundancy beyond imagination. There is not a company in the world that could operate like these guys operate the government and survive. And guess what? We can't keep it up and survive as a government either. It's got to stop. The waste of non-essentials must be cut immediately, and then right on the heels of that. Need to cut off the excess spending going on in needed departments. Mr. Obama, you do not need an AIDS czar. You don't need an auto recovery czar. Give me a break. What is this California water czar? Excuse me? You see what I mean? If we demanded an honest look at how these people are spending our money, you would find out very quickly why we are in such a mess. And you'd ask yourself, why, when they talk about budget cuts, do they never talk about this foolishness? It is because they're a pack of liars and cheats and robbers of the people, oppressors who serve themselves at your expense and use those essentials as a gun to your head to force you to cough up more. Look, here's the truth, my friend. If you hold the line and do not raise the debt limit, you will force them to make adjustments in their spending. Then, in the debate that will surely surface over just what really should be cut, that's going to come out. And they're going to be forced to show their filthy hands and to give up their pet projects, or they'll be exposed for what they are. When the people find out that the reason we must cut Social Security is because Obama and Michelle want to live like king and queen of the world, that it's because Obama and his cohorts in the Congress and Senate want to make up stupid non-essential jobs for their buddies as political payback or payoffs, when all this comes out, then we might be able to get this nation back on track financially. Look, I gotta close, but every child knows what happens if you blow up a balloon too large. Go ahead and keep blowing on this debt balloon, and you're gonna pop the economy. It's going to explode in your face. No, you can't have any more money. No. No, no, no. You have demonstrated to us all clearly you cannot be trusted with what we've already given you. No. First, you take responsibility for what you have done to the national treasury and get your spending under control, but no more money. Stop blowing hot air into the debt balloon. I'm telling you, it's right at the point of bursting. I've got to close. It's gone beyond conspiracy, my friend. The anti-Christian bias in the mainstream media is beyond conspiracy. And this debt problem in our country, it's beyond conspiracy. It's systemic. Now, no doubt the problems we face are the product of conspiracy. I believe that. People acting on an ideology foreign to the interests of this nation and contrary to the principles and beliefs that shaped our founders and in opposition to our traditional values and heritage. Oh, yeah. But now, it's systemic. And I mean, our Congress is a political machine. It acts in its own best interests. It's a beast. It acts instinctively and reflexively to protect itself. It's a tax and spend community. And to resist it is to resist its nature. Do you understand? There's only one way to deal with this situation. The beast must be trapped and caged and controlled. You cannot let the Congress, Senate, or presidency control the direction of this country any longer. You, the people, must take control of your government. Get this beast under control. It is the nature of the beast to oppress you through exactions, that's taxation, to feed their insatiable appetite for spending, to buy them greater and greater power over our lives. You cannot yield to this beast. It will devour you. No new taxes. No increase in the debt limit. Now I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know if you see them on. You call me at 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you see the lights I've lit today. And you will ride like Rivera. Spread the warning. It means you agree with me, agree with what I'm saying, and you get it. And you'll get copies of this in CD form, or you'll make copies of it off your recording of your radio, whatever. And get it out there, for heaven's sake. Now, you can also call, say, lights off, which means you reject what I'm saying and you disagree strongly with me. That's fine. I want to hear from you either way, lights on or lights off. What will it be today? Lights on or lights off, 1-888-770-8000. 1-888-770-8000. You don't need the one if you're dialing from a cell phone or a mobile phone. 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website and clicking on the Contact Us button. Use thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. If you're in a hurry, you can give me a lights on or lights off and then hang up, if you will. Please leave a message. Tell me what you think of the show, positive or negative, either way. Now, I like talking with my listeners, and I think you'd like to hear some of the conversations I have with my listeners. So here's what we're going to do. You call, say lights on or lights off, and you say you want to talk to me. I'll call you back. We'll record that conversation if you permit it. We'll record the conversation, and with your permission, I'll use it on the air, and I'll share with others in our audience some of the conversations I get to have with some of you, my listeners. Now, you understand, my situation is different than your typical talk show host. I don't do this for a living, all right? And I can't tie myself to a microphone at a certain time every week. I travel. I do a lot of different things. I can't do that. And so we have a listener response hotline. You call, leave a message. I call you back if you ask me to. That's the way we do it. But I know that you'd like to hear from some of my listeners. They're just awesome things that they say, and I want to share it with you. So what we're going to do is you call. If you want to participate in this, tell me you want me to call back. I'll call you back. We'll record the conversation, and then we'll air it. All right. God bless you. God bless America. I'll see you in church.
Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
I have written melodies for several of the psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The brain masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.